Luke chapter 2. All right. Well, I had titled the message tonight, Searching for Jesus, Looking for Him. And, you know, sometimes we can lose sight of what's important. And the most important thing right now is Jesus Christ. We know that. Now, I won't read all of chapter 2, but there's a lot that goes on and talks about. If you will, jump all the way down to verse 43. Luke 2:43. If you've read your Bible through several times, and I hope you do, you find very quickly Luke has some long chapters. Have you ever found that? And you can always tell. I tell my wife, she's like, what are you reading? I said, I'm in Luke. She said, oh, okay, it's going to take you a while. But long chapters. Notice verse 43. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk, and acquaintance. When they had found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. When they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. He said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth, notice this, and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Very interesting little snidbit, if you will, or of the story that's given to us only in the book of Luke. And it shares with us a little incident that took place with Jesus and his parents. Now, sometimes we think about Jesus Christ as being perfect, never had any problems, never had any issues, never had anything with other people, especially growing up, which isn't true. He was a man. He was a normal person. He was a human being. We know he was empowered and he was God manifested in the flesh, obviously. But he was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. But in this scenario, which I found very, very fascinating to me, to think about at this age, he was already teaching the theologians of the day. He was making it clear. Now, people ask, and this is what I ask often, where was Jesus and what was he doing from the age of 12 years old to about, the Bible says, when he pops onto the scene preaching, about 30 years old? Where was he? Oh, well, we don't know. We understand here the last really spoken thing of him as a child is that he was subject unto his parents and he increased in wisdom and stature and was in favor with God and man. So we're not sure what he was doing. Obviously, we think that he was ministering and faithful with his father, probably as a carpenter. He helped him out. He was faithful, obviously, in the home. He was not out and about doing his own thing. He was subject unto them. But very fascinating tonight. And I want you to bear with me a little bit as I dive into this section, talking about seeing what we can get out of this, if you will. Notice that they had gone up, you know the story, and the child Jesus, it says in verse 43, tarried behind in Jerusalem. Joseph and his mother knew not of it. They, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey. Now, they were traveling, you know this, took them very long to travel a short distance. They had to pack up all their stuff, put them on a donkey or a camel, etc., etc., you know. And so they went a day's journey, and they realized he was not with them. And you and I, we know that if we can often go a day's journey, even more than that, if you will, without realizing we've left him a little bit behind. We left Jesus behind. Oh, you say, Brother Tim, oh, you're kind of making this into a little sensational kind of a message. And I know that. But I really think there's a lot in here we can grasp. Notice this, they supposing him. Supposing. They supposed that he was with them. They supposed that everything was okay. They supposed that their life was right where it needed to be. They supposed that the sinful behavior was okay with him. They supposed, listen up, they supposed that everything was okay, didn't they? If you're not careful, you're like me. I suppose, well, Lord, everything's all right. Everything's fine. They supposed him to have been in the company. Now, I like this. We as Christians are not to suppose anything. We're not to assume anything. Did you know that? Now, the world assumes stuff and supposes stuff and other things. You know that? The Bible's very clear. We don't have to assume or suppose anything, do we? We have all that we need. As soon as you suppose, well, I suppose that's the right thing to do. No, you come back to the Bible. You say, well, that makes I got to know everything in the Bible. No, you study the scriptures. You follow and listen to the Holy Spirit, as we read this morning, that Joseph heeded or followed or listened to everything that was bidden him by the Lord. You follow through. Now, listen to this here. So many times man supposes what to do and gets himself into trouble. Why? Because he steps outside the boundaries of the Word of God. He steps outside the boundaries of the Holy Spirit. Ooh, isn't that challenging? We are to stay within the boundaries of this book. You say this book is so narrow, it's so judgmental, it's so critical. No, it's not. Not if you know the Lord. You folks know this. You know the Bible. You read the Bible. You know that it's not. What's written here is a love letter to us as His children. Oh, can I encourage you tonight with this? Don't suppose. I suppose it. I suppose the way we're raising our children is okay. I suppose the way our marriage is going is the right thing. No, you don't have to suppose anything. Get into the Word, figure out what you need to be doing, and do it. I'm preaching here to myself. Now, they went a day's journey. I like this. They sought Him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. We can search for Jesus if we've lost Him in a way. Among our, I like the word in kinsfolk. Anyone use that word anymore? I don't think. My kinsfolk and acquaintance. And you search Him there. You know you ain't going to find Him. You're not going to find Him. A holiday season's coming up. And I say holiday season. I should be saying more of Christmas time. But we're going to search for, maybe you'd be looking for some kind of form of Christianity in your family members, some type of morality maybe in your loved ones, in your acquaintances. That means friends. You're going to be looking for Jesus among them or in them. You may not find it. Don't get disappointed. You ought to have your eyes on Christ. Keep your focus. The proverb says this, let your eyes look right ahead. Let your eyelids look straight ahead, meaning keep your eyes open. Ponder the path of thy feet. Let all thy ways, what? Be established. And it means know what you're, don't just float around. Well, I'm just hanging out. I'm just over here chilling. No. Know what you're doing. Have a purpose and a goal. Our focus is on Jesus Christ. Notice this. They sought Him among their people. Sought Him among the people. You and I will be gravely disappointed if we search for Jesus among people. If we look to please man. If we look that they'll find Him or have Him with them. Now, praise God that there's a lot of people around us that do have Jesus and do know Him and do love Him and all of that. We want to fellowship with Him. We want to say praise God. And there's some people that don't exactly believe just like we do, but they love the Lord and they're saved and we fellowship with them and we encourage all of that. You know that. But sometimes looking around out in this world, it can be very despondent, can be very discouraging. You look around. And you start to listen to the news and watch what's going on today and see all those things going on, you're going to be gravely disappointed. Notice verse 45, when they found Him not, they turned back. Now, I like that. You want to underline that in your Bible. When they found Him not, they turned back. Well, where'd they go? It's like the person, you ever lose something and they always say, where's the last place you left it? And you always say, well, if I knew that, I would be going right to that place. I don't know. I don't even know what I ate for breakfast today. I mean, some of you don't even know where you are right now. You know where you're like me. I'm going, where am I? What am I doing? So I had one of our, I think it was our two-year-old. She was talking to me and I wasn't listening. I was thinking about something, you know. And she finally said, Daddy, are you listening? And I said, uh-huh, mm-hmm, yeah. She finally grabbed my face and turned. She said, are you listening to me? I said, oh, okay, yes. What did you say? Oh, my friends, we're like that, don't we? Notice this, they turn back again. Where did you lose Jesus? Now, we cannot lose our salvation. Let me clarify that. What I mean, you know what I mean. In our spiritual walk, sometimes we fail, don't we? Sometimes we get a little bit backslidden. We get a little away from God. Work impedes. Work gets in the way. Family gets in the way. Relationships. Oh, all these things get in the way. And we can't help it. We've got to survive. We've got to work. We've got to deal with these things. But if we're not careful, we can fall back. Now, notice what they did. They turned back again to Jerusalem. They didn't say, well, maybe He got out ahead of us and let's just keep going on home. Maybe He's at home. Maybe He's over to the east or the west. No, no, no. What did it say? They turned back and went again to Jerusalem, where they last saw Him, where they left Him. And I'm telling you tonight, you go back to where you left off when you once were reading your Bible so faithfully and you had to work God in the way and other things. Go back to that. When you had such a good prayer life going over the last couple of months and then just things started happening, you've not been feeling well, you got so tired and you all the things. Go back. It's not rocket science. We go back. Go back again to Jerusalem, seeking Jesus. So they supposed, one, but they also went back. You and I must make an effort to consistently walk with Jesus. It doesn't happen overnight. It's not something that just happens. We have to make an effort, don't we? Oh, we have to make an effort. Now, Jesus doesn't move. The Holy Spirit doesn't move. We move, right? I've said it before, but it's like the old couple riding in the car. They used to sit so, when they used to have the bench seat, they sat so close together. And then over the years, they kind of separated. Now they're in their 60s and they sit far apart. And the wife said, why don't we sit close anymore in the car? He says, I'm not the one that moved. He hasn't moved. He's sitting in the driver's seat. And that's so true with our Lord. He hasn't moved. The problem is me. I've moved. I've gone back. I wasn't paying attention. Now, Mary and Joseph, we can't give them a hard time necessarily. They were busy. They had all these things going on. They had to deal with all these issues. They were called back to go and do their thing. And they had to make a long journey. Obviously, cost them a lot of money. We were thinking about taking a trip recently. And we started to calculate out. And we started to calculate out the fuel prices with the mileage. And then we started to calculate out, well, we can't make a straight shot because the kids, they're going to lose it in the car. We got to stop halfway and stay at a hotel. And a hotel these days is, you know, however much, $300 or something. And then you got to, I can't get my wife to stay at like a Red Roof Inn or anything. You know, we got to go somewhere a little nicer than that. You calculate all this. Then you got to eat out. You know, you got to eat out. You got to eat. The kids want to eat out. You got to eat out. I blame it on the kids, you know. We got to eat out three times a day, whatever it is. You know, you just calculate. It's so expensive. I can't imagine. Now, Joseph, on his small income, Mary probably obviously didn't work. She stayed the home and other things. But it was hard, difficult. And, you know, sometimes the Holy Spirit's going to come and say, Tim, now I know you're busy. I know you're working hard, doing this, doing that, trying to stay focused, trying to keep everything together at home, trying to do your thing. But let me just remind you of something. You drifted a little bit spiritually. And doesn't that happen when you spend time in the Bible? The Bible's so clear. It's so gracious to us. Oh, I said this morning, the greatest cleansing agent in a human being's soul is the Bible. The Bible will cleanse you. It'll cleanse things that soap and water cannot touch. It'll cleanse this mind and cleanse this heart and cleanse your priorities, if you will, all of it. And the Holy Spirit helps us. The Word of God helps us to come back to where we left Him. Verse 46, and it came to pass that after 3 days they found Him in the temple. Now, remember this, they'd gone just a day's journey. Now, 3 days they've been looking. Now, if you mothers in here, you would be livid, wouldn't you? Your kid, we've been searching for 3 days. Where you been? Where have you been? 3 days weeping, I'm sure, scared to death that they've lost the very Son of God. You know, Mary's going, oh, man. Oh, my goodness, what's going on? Joseph is saying, "Huh, honey, calm down. Everything will be fine. We'll find him. And they enter back into town, and they hear that voice, that little kid's voice. You mamas know your kids' voices, don't you? You know their voice. And she heard his voice, verse 46, sitting in the midst of the doctors. These are theological doctors, both hearing them, asking them questions. I like that. Both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. They're amazed at this young boy. What in the world? How in the world can this young man have all of these things? Again, not understanding who he is. Again, not understanding what his purpose was. But we know Mary and Joseph understood it. They're amazed at it. When they come back to find him, they find him busy doing what? The Father's business. See, Jesus never deviates from his plan. Jesus never deviates from his goal. And when he was taken to the cross, he could have said, I don't really want to do this. You remember in the garden when he prayed, he said what? Lord, if this cup pass from me, but nevertheless, not my will but thine. What's the cup, the proverbial cup that he's talking about? The cup of suffering, pain, torture, death, mockery. Oh, we could go through a list of things. But he says, I'll do the Father's business. And he came, as we said this morning, to seek and to save that which was lost and to give his life a ransom for many. So they came and they found him. They were astonished, those that heard him, his understanding and answers. He had a goal of staying behind. He had a goal of being where he was. And Mary says to him, verse 48, amazed at him, Son, why hast thou dealt thus with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. We're sorrowing. And he said unto them, how is it that ye sought me? Now, Jesus is not being disrespectful or cruel. I said this morning that people worship Mary, especially as you know in the Catholic religion, called Mariolatry. They worship, lift up Mary. If you read the New Testament, Jesus corrects Mary more times than he does exalt her. Remember at the wedding at Cana? Jesus, they have no more wine. They ran out of, and Jesus goes, what's that to me? My time's not yet come. It wasn't time for him yet to reveal exactly himself and do miracles. But then I found fascinating, she turns to the servants and she says, whatsoever he tells you to do, just do it. So although he said, she said, well, he can do it. He's going to perform it, but he can do it. What'd you think about it? She comes to him another time with her little children. She had many more children after Jesus, we know that. And it says the mother, Mary came and with the children, with Jesus' brethren, and he was doing his thing, preaching. You remember this? Hordes of people around Jesus, constantly flocking him like a celebrity, grabbing at him, said, Jesus, heal me, help me, heal my kids. And she says to one of the apostles, hey, can you get him? I need to talk to him. And they go up and say, hey, Jesus, your mother and your brothers need to talk to you. And he looks around and he says, who is my mother? Who are my brethren? Those that do the what? Will of my Father. They're my, that sounds kind of insulting to Mary, but he wasn't being insulting. What was he doing? Expressing his purpose for being here. Never deviated from that. Now, Jesus has a plan for your life, for my life. We know that. Very clear. If we're not careful, we can miss out on that. We go from being in the perfect will of God to what Scripture describes as being the permissive will of God. Doesn't mean you lose your salvation, but it means you can step outside of a relationship with the Lord to live in a sinful way, or not even sinful all the time, but just your own will. And it's never fruitful. How many of you, and don't raise your hand, but we've all, lived outside of the perfect will of God. And we were successful, but in the wrong direction. We were successful at work. We made a lot of money. We were doing all the, but is it the will of God? And that's the problem that I have often to think about. Lord, I'm successful, but which way? Now, saying this, as they sought Jesus, what'd they do? They came back again to where they left him. I don't know where you're at this evening in your spiritual walk with him, but I want to encourage you, and I say that often, but encourage you to go back. Turn back again to where you left him. Maybe you haven't left him. Maybe you've never started. You don't know if you're saved tonight. I don't know. I must say this because it's my responsibility as a pastor. If you're not saved, to make sure of that. I'll take 10 minutes, literally 10 minutes, and take the Bible and show you how to be saved. And it will be the greatest day of your life. But you start there. That's the will of God, is that you would be saved, number one. Those of us that are saved, I believe almost all of us in here, are saved, except for some of our little ones. That we understand we are walking with God, we're serving God, we're in the perfect will of God as far as we know. And if we're not, then we're asking and praying the Holy Spirit and the Bible to correct us in that. But if we are, there will be times when we drift backwards and not be where we should be all the time. We come back. They heard him. Now notice this. Let me cover a couple more points. We'll be done here. Wist ye not? Did you not know? Did you not understand? That's what he's saying. That I must be about my Father's business. I must be about my Father's business. Now, there are things that Jesus did, John says at the end of the Gospel of John. There are things that Jesus did and Jesus was involved with and Jesus said, etc., etc., that we have not that were not recorded in Scripture. He said, not even the world can contain all that Jesus said and did. So there are things, I don't know what he did during these years, but obviously he was already about his Father's business. So he was doing things. But notice this, even though he was doing his Father's business, he came, verse 51, was subject unto them. Subject unto them. The very Son of God, God in the flesh, was subject unto his parents. And he did what they asked him to do. He followed them. He listened to them. He was obedient to them. He was about his Father's business, doing what he was supposed to do. And you think about this, what later happened, as Mary stood, we know, at the foot of that old rugged cross, obviously in broken heart, sad, weeping, mourning the not only torture but death of her own son, firstborn son, and what she dealt with. And I can't imagine all these scenarios flashing back through her mind, right? As she went through that. She thought about that. She thought, you know what? Oh, that makes sense now. Oh, and that makes sense now. And that makes sense now. And that makes sense now. There's a lot of people confused. I said this morning, but there's a lot of people confused today. They don't know where they came from, what they're doing here, and where they're going. And I said, no wonder the suicide rate is at an all-time high among 12-year-olds to 25-year-olds. 12-year-old kids killing themselves? I mean, even younger than that, we've heard stories in the news, right? I mean, little kids, they don't even know what's going on yet. They haven't even hit puberty yet. What in the world? Why? They're being taught ridiculous things, aren't they? They have come from nothing. They don't have any purpose here except to live, breathe, and exist and fulfill a pleasure, fulfill the lust of the flesh, and then they have nowhere to go. It's called cessation of being. You're going to die, and that's it. That's it. That's it. I referenced an interview a couple weeks ago, but of Stan Lee, the great comic book writer. And he was talking to Larry King, and Larry King said, does death scare you? He said, no, I'm not scared to die. He says, what bothers me the most is that there's nothing after that, which he's wrong. There's nothing after that. We just die and go in the ground. How sad. How sad that is. Isn't that sad? So many people believe that. They believe that. But anyways, what Jesus came to do was to die for us. He was wrapped in swaddling clothes, a great picture of his death to come. He came with the express purpose to fulfill the will of the Father. Is your desire tonight to do the will of the Father? Is your desire tonight to do His will? Well, you're not going to do it if you're still searching for Jesus. If you left Him somewhere, go back. Go back. Go back to where you once had Him. Go back to where you once were, where you should have been. All the regretful things that I have done and said, I wish I could go back. Don't you? You think about that? I wish I could go back. I wish I could go back and not say, go back and not do that. Go back and not break the hearts of the people around me. Grieve those people that were just there to help and pray for me and all those things. Go back. But we can go back. Not in time, but we can go back and say, God, you're giving me another chance, another day, another week to serve you. I want to serve Monday different than last Monday. I want to be a better person, a better Christian than last Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday. I want to be more for you, Lord. Go back. Go back. When you go back, let me just say here lastly, you're going to find Him. You're going to find Him. And He's doing exactly what He's always been doing. And He's where He's always been. He's about His Father's business. Jesus hasn't changed. He never will change. And that's what I love about our Lord. So many people change and are fickle. And they're wishy-washy, up and down. You can't trust anybody these days. I mean, nobody. You can't even trust your own family these days, can you? You can't trust anybody. But you can trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, let me warn you tonight. Your marriage is not going to survive without the book in the center of your household, the center of your marriage. You're not going to survive in a parent-child relationship and be successful in that without the Bible. You're going to try, and I've seen people try, and they're successful, but in the wrong direction. You're not going to make it as a Christian. You think you will, but you will drift and you'll fail. In the latter days, I've seen so many older folks, in the latter days of their life, when it should be the golden years of serving Christ, they drift off into oblivion. Never heard from again, spiritually speaking. Something happened along the road. Something happened as they were traveling back home. Everything was good, fine and dandy. Did a double check in the car. Is everyone here? Everyone's here. Did we get the tents? Did we get the sleeping bags? We got everything, Joseph. We're good to go. Did we make sure and cover? Oh, we got all that? Okay, we got all that. You forgot Jesus, the main thing, if you're like me. Oh, Lord, everything's in place. Bills are paid. Got a little money in the bank. The kids are healthy, somewhat. Everything's fine. Everything's going just right. Be careful, because that's when the devil hits you. When everything's going fine, when everything's just kind of smooth and right, going along, here comes that fork in the road. Here comes that flat tire. I'm just saying tonight, I want to encourage you with that, to stay focused on Him. Friends, tonight, again, you know me personally, but I preach more to myself than you do. How I need this. I need to get back to where we are. I'll wrap it up there. Get back. Get back to Him. And we'll see a little bit more next week, Lord willing. But looking at what Jesus went on to do, how He went on to serve, and so, following this line of thinking here, He never deviated from the plan. He never went back. He never went away from the doing the Father's business. What business are you involved with today? What business? You make some money, that's good. You have to survive. What business, though? Is business number one Father's business? I serve Christ. I serve Him. Number one is Father's business. Know what that means? Up tomorrow morning, I know most of you get up far before the sun rises, but number one is Father's business. Lord, I spend time with You. Number one, I spend time with You. Maybe not for you. Maybe you spend time with the Lord in the evening when you get home. You get alone with Him in the Word of God and with prayer, and you say, God, You've got to help me. Nothing's wrong with your life, though. I need God. I need a preemptive strike, if you will. I know that I need God. Oh, my friends, do you know Him? Go back to where you lost Him, and you'll find Him right there. He hasn't moved. He hasn't moved. Amen? All right, I'll stop there tonight. Thank you for coming and listening so well. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, we do thank You again for a time to share the Word of God tonight. I've said things tonight that we know, Lord, but there's something that I think is very applicable, very helpful to us as we think about. We need to go back where we left You. We're not careful. We get so busy. We're not doing anything wrong, necessarily. We're not sinful. We're just living our lives, Lord, trying to survive, trying to do right, trying to be very careful in where we go, what we say, what we watch, what we do. But Lord, sometimes we miss out. We forget. We need to spend our time with You and get close to You. And Lord, we thank You for loving us so much. Thank You for taking care of us again another day to spend in Your house. We pray You bless these folks. They go their separate ways this evening, and then they go tomorrow morning everywhere doing their thing, working hard, and Lord, ministering to others around them. I hope help us all to be a light and the salt that we're called to be wherever we go. We love and thank You, Lord, again in Jesus' name, and amen.